Repent, believe, follow, fish. Beth was not entirely comfortable taking a seat in the circle that first day. The six-month relationship with the man whom she thought was the one had just ended. And as a result, she had hit the wall. She had hit walls before in her life, but this time it was different. Up to this point, she had always found a way to keep going. But this time, there was no doubt that living this way was no longer going to work. More than 10 years earlier, one of her good friends had mentioned Al-Anon. Thought it might be helpful for Beth, but, well, the years had passed, and it had never seemed quite necessary until now. What she found when she entered that room was that the people there somehow respected her for how she felt, no matter how she felt. And with that, for the first time in her life, she felt the kind of trust with a group of people simply to be herself. In the beginning, she told herself that she was just there to learn the material. Of course, she just needed to know what this was all about, and then she could be done with it. But she was there for a few weeks, and then a few months more, when she realized that this was actually something different. This was something that she might never be done with. Repent, believe, follow, fish. What we heard today in this portion of Mark's gospel are the very first words that Mark records of Jesus, and this the first gospel we believe to be written of his life. These are those words. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. How often is it true that in order to change our lives, the time must be right? We can hear something 2 times or 14 times, but if the time isn't right, they wash like water off a duck's back. Now, the time, the word for time used here in the Greek is the word kairos, which means God's time, as opposed to chronos, or our time. As Christians, we understand kairos, this sense of God's time, to be those times when forces outside of us somehow come together. We may not even be aware of them when they happen. Time is fulfilled. And it's at times like these when change is possible. But then Jesus uses the word repent. I tell you, when you hear the word repent read out loud, it comes loaded with more baggage than even Southwest will fly for free. Use the word repent, and people almost immediately go to places of shame or guilt. But the Greek usage here is not that. The Greek word here is metanoia. Meta as in change, noia as in mind. To repent means to change your mind, to change your perspective, to wake up, to look at things differently. Fundamentally, when one undergoes metanoia, one gets a glimpse of the world around us as different. This glimpse may be searing or it may be subtle, but it is real. And in that, something is discovered. And within that discovery, there lies the seeds of change. Repent, believe, follow, fish. Beth had been attending her weekly meetings for about 6 months before she started hearing people's stories about a higher power differently. It's not that the meetings weren't meaningful. They were deeply meaningful. She just felt like she was missing something that was underneath it all. To be clear, up to this point, Beth was not a person of faith, atheist, agnostic. What she knew was that she never believed in anything called God. And yet there was something missing. One of the old-timers in her regular meeting told her that doing the 12 steps without a belief in a higher power was like being a dry drunk. But what was she supposed to do? For some reason, it came to her that she should pray. Now, she had no idea who to address this prayer to, let alone how to pray. But for the first time in her life, Beth prayed. And from somewhere, there came a response. The response had not been anything that she'd been thinking at all. And her response was, and I quote, "Whoa." I think that's pretty authentic to my experience. Whoa. She did not know how or why, but from that day she knew that there was something more out there. Repent, believe, follow, fish. Believe in the good news. When battles were being fought in the kingdoms of Greece, there was a special word that was used when a messenger brought the news of victory from the battlefield to the king. It was euangelion, or evangelion, which is translated for us as gospel or good news. From the very beginning, what Jesus is proclaiming is good news. Believe in the good news, he says. In essence, trust that the victory has been won. It is in those times when our perspective has shifted, when we realize that in order to really live, we must turn around. It is then when belief is possible. Belief that there is more than the pain, the frustration, the dead ends that surround us. Trust me, friends, Jesus knows the end. He knows where he is heading, but he also trusts what is on the other side. For this reason, from the beginning, he proclaims, believe in the good news, trust in the victory. Repent, believe, follow, fish. After that first experience with prayer, Beth decided that she needed to know more. So she cautiously approached a congregation here in Berkeley. It met her intellectual needs. The classes were fascinating, but the worship wasn't right. It didn't quite connect for her. Now, it just so happens that on the way between her apartment and that church was the corner of Cedar and Spruce. All Souls looked like a nice church. So one Sunday morning, she was on the way that-a-way, and she decided to walk through those copper doors. She took a bulletin from a very nice usher and then turned right around and walked back out the doors. And she kept walking all the way to that first congregation where she sat outside reading the bulletin, reading that blue sheet of announcements from All Souls Parish. And she became intrigued. So the next Sunday, not only did she make it through the copper doors with a bulletin, she made it into a pew and she took a seat. And there was something in the service that morning which spoke to her. And even if she didn't know why, because sometimes we don't, she came back the next week and the week after that. Then she began to study that blue announcement sheet to see which names did which activities. And then she would find those people and ask them why they did what they did. What was it about? Then she gathered the courage to meet with a priest, and they talked about where she was coming from and why she might be here. She read, she listened, and she learned that underneath it all, there was this way. And it was a way that she wanted to know more about. Repent, believe, follow, fish. Jesus has made his statement, his proclamation, and now he's walking along the Sea of Galilee where he sees these brothers casting a net into the sea. They're fishermen. What else would they do? Now, what he says to them has been the subject of much discussion for thousands of years. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Follow me. Another rendering of this is, come behind me, and I will make you become fishers. Now, follow me. That's not the easiest of directives to give here in the city of Berkeley, California. When our bishop, Mark Andrus, first arrived here in the Bay Area in this diocese from Alabama, one of his initial observations was that California in general and the Bay Area in particular have been immensely formed by this entrepreneurial spirit. Some attribute this to the gold rush, to people leaving all that they had to risk a new possibility. What is clear is that this entrepreneurial spirit has permeated our universities, our businesses, and because of this, our area is one of the engines of creativity for the entire world. But the shadow side to this sense of entrepreneurialness is that in our excitement to blaze a new trail, we don't tend to be very good followers. Follow me. In the first century, it was students who chose rabbis. Right? The student would seek out the counsel of a particularly wise rabbi, and then he would learn under this tutelage, and when finally, he felt ready to strike out on his own, he would. But here, in this story, we see the opposite. Simon and Peter, James and John, they don't choose Jesus. Jesus chooses them. And they follow. Not just away from their nets, but away from their homes and eventually to their deaths at the ends of the known world. Now, what I find noteworthy is that the gospel is silent as to any pre-existing relationship. Many sermons have been preached about the courage of disciples who pick up and leave everything without ever having even laid eyes on this Jesus. And that could be true. But I wonder if maybe they had already met Jesus, known who he was, had some trust in him. And then when he came to meet them on the beach or in their boat, he was able to say, now is the time. Follow me and I'll make you fish for people. And they trusted and incredibly followed. Repent, believe, follow, fish. After some time, Beth was baptized here at All Souls Parish in that font. And she began to take part in the life of this gathered body trying to practice this way. She took part in the healing ministry and felt the profound experience of God working through her. Slowly but surely, she began to take more and more risks about how she lived her life. And she began to seek out more ways to live the words she was beginning to believe. And after some time, she found herself ministering with a homeless man. At first, she thought she had to use the words that she had learned, words like Jesus Christ. She found herself telling him about Christian love and praying with him. It was only after some wise counsel that she realized that, in fact, why she was there. She was there because Beth knew firsthand what it was fundamentally like to feel unloved, that no one cared. And yet she was using words to do this. So what she did was love Walter. She told him stories and listened to him. And even as he was dying, together they glimpsed what this good news, this victory, feels like. Through All Souls, Jesus had loved Beth, and Beth had loved Walter, and Walter followed Jesus. Repent, believe, follow, fish. I will make you fish for people. All too often, friends, we see this as another task on the checklist for good Christians. Smiled at the person next to me on BART. Check. Said a prayer about the state budget crisis in California. Check. Saved a soul for Jesus. Check. But here's another rendering of the Greek. I will make you to become fishers. This isn't about a task. This is about a new identity, a new way to understand ourselves, especially in relationship with others. This is not what we do. This is who we are. We are becoming fishers. Fishers in our actions, and yes, to paraphrase St. Francis, sometimes even in our words when we share the good news about this victory. Not to devalue where people have been, but to give them a glimpse of what can be now. To extend this maritime metaphor further and in a somewhat different direction, sometimes I feel like the current of life flows swiftly past the corner of cedar and spruce. And week by week, people arrive here having been rocked by the waves of living in this place at this time. They are broken by the narrative that says they are not good enough, that they are not smart enough, they don't have enough money, that they cannot be loved. They have been battered by religion, even by followers of the one who gave himself in the name of love. They have been battered by those who say that they are disordered or unworthy or less than whole. And sometimes they wash ashore here on this corner. Sometimes members of this parish throw them lifelines. But I truly believe that why we exist is to bring people safely to shore. We are here because there are many who struggle. They hit the wall and they do not know the way forward. And through our words and in our deeds, sometimes simply by being here, we let them know that the death with which this world offers, this death is not the final answer. We let them know that the victory has been won. The good news is true. Repent, believe, follow, fish.